Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Sacred Leadership with Charisse. And today, I recently was evaluating where I was at this particular season in my life. And I feel a lot of tension, we'll say, around speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down. So today, what I'm talking about is building slower, living fuller, and releasing guilt, reclaiming rhythm within all of that. So today we're talking about building slower, living fuller, releasing guilt, reclaiming rhythm. And where I'm going with this is sharing my reflection on the season that I'm currently navigating personally, spiritually, and professionally. Today's a culmination of insights gathered over the past few months that I've explored in terms of what does that mean to really live a full life without being consumed by it. From a place of deep gratitude, I'm presenting today an honesty about the tension between momentum and spaciousness, the feeling of living on warp speed while intentionally trying to slow down. Today, I'm inviting you to even unpack the internal narratives that many high-achieving women carry, the belief that productivity equals value, that rest must be earned, and that leadership requires constant output or overfunctioning. Today, I'm also going to explore how leadership often looks and feels different for women and why that difference is not a weakness, but a strength. I'm reflecting on even my own feelings around guilt, or my feelings of, guilt and slowing down and creating space for what genuinely lights me up and learning to stay really rooted in those choices, even when those old stories resurface. So rather than coming to you today with like a supremely polished episode, today I'm really inviting listeners into a very human and very real recalibration that I find myself in, one that honors fullness, rhythm, discernment, and intentional living by design. Today is both meant to be reflective on what's been learned and a quiet paving of the way of what's yet to come. So I'm hoping for those of you that are joining me today that you can identify with what I'm really talking about. I was sitting and I was reflecting, and as I often do when I'm thinking about, okay, what do I want to talk about? What's really relevant in my world right now, personally, professionally, spiritually, all of it. And I was recently just kind of sitting in there, and I remember having a conversation with someone where I was just like, I feel like my whole life is like on warp speed. Like it's just things are going so fast. And I have to remember to like actually stop and slow down. And when I do that, there's almost instantaneously a feeling of guilt that arises. Like, no, you haven't earned it yet. Like you haven't worked hard enough. You haven't done enough. You haven't enter in enough that you can actually take that moment and breathe and pause and just catch your breath. So when I was thinking about, okay, well, where am I right now? I know that right now I'm in this place of do, very much masculine energy, all these beautiful ideas that come in, and I find that the time that I take to like just kind of sit with it these days is even shorter than it used to be. I used to wait, I think a really long time, but now what I'm finding is happening is that I'll get this idea, I'll sit on it for a moment, and there will be like another reminder on that idea, like maybe a few days later, and then, you know, a third time. So to me, the third time is the charm. If something keeps coming to me over and over and over again, I'm like, okay, I think this is something that I'm supposed to do. So I find myself in this full season of masculine doing energy. The idea comes in, I'm executing. The idea comes in and I'm executing. And when I find myself in that season, I very, very quickly fill an already full plate. So if we visualize what that looks like, it's, you know, I've got my plate and I've got my meat and my veggies and my carbs and, you know, it's all very prettily plated out there. And then I'm just adding more stuff in. So the tension that I'm feeling is understanding very fully that there's only so much that I can eat on this plate before I become overfull, before I overeat and I literally make myself sick with overconsumption. So the tension is recognizing I only have so much bandwidth. As much as I think that I am a superwoman, and yes, I have capacity to do a lot, but I only have so much bandwidth to do things that I enjoy doing and that I do well. So the tension is in recognizing where to put my energy, where to put my time, where to put my focus, what to delegate to somebody else, or what system to build to offload off my plate, or what to avoid entirely. And so I find myself literally scanning every single day going like, okay, what's for me? What's for someone else? What can I get rid of? And as I'm telling people about all my plans for this year, and they're just like, oh my gosh, you've got so much on your plate. I'm like, I know. And there's more coming. It's really funny and interesting trying to navigate that. And so you find me using the word full a lot. If you're ever in intimate or deep conversation with me, you'll find me saying, like, when people talk about being busy, I hate that word. I've said it on this podcast before, or I strongly dislike that word busy. Even if things are full, I don't even like to say it. I don't like to use that B word because it almost gives an air of self-importance. And the truth is that everybody has full lives, varying degrees of fullness, but everybody has stuff that they're working through. So when I use the terminology of full, what I mean is that all of the categories of my life, business, personal, professional, spiritual, physical, like all these things, they're all very full. And that is with very, very intentional design. So the balance additionally within that is not complaining. And that's also the reason why I don't use the word busy, because normally when people say I'm so busy, it always gives me the energy of like, I'm so busy and I wish I wouldn't be. And I never want to say that. I want to send the energy out into the universe that's very much, my life is so full and I am so grateful. So the challenge, or where I find myself now, is balancing that energy of gratitude for the fullness and the richness and the depth of my life, which I find myself actually even saying that when in conversation with people, I'm like, I am really so grateful for my life. I am truly so blessed. I am happy that my life is full. I am happy that it has the depth and the richness that it does. And so I find myself saying that. The stretched, I don't even necessarily view it as a challenge. I view it as an opportunity, and very specifically an opportunity to redesign. So for example, right now, I'm going to use a little bit of somatic terminology when I describe this, but I'm sure that you can all identify with when things are feeling slightly overwhelmed or you're feeling like you're at capacity. And for me, what it feels like, I start the day and there's so many things that are going on in my head that I don't even know where to begin. I know that there's something in every single category of my life that I need to attend to, but the question is, which one deserves my attention first and foremost? So it could feel like a busyness of the mind, or even an anxiety in your belly, like a nervousness or just like an uncertainty of where exactly it is I'm supposed to start. And how do I begin to organize this in a way that's digestible and that's manageable? And I think that for me, what that looks like is I really use my intuition a lot here. So even right now, I've got my handy dandy notebook. And normally what I'll do at the start of the day is I treat my intuition like it's my bestie. And the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, what requires my attention right now? I don't normally work with a notebook. I'll be really honest when it comes to the various projects that I'm working on. I like to use any type of digital application. So then that way it's available across all of my devices. This notebook is just really like in this moment, if I happen to be in front of my computer, but normally I like really digital. Sorry, my foot is falling asleep. But anyways, I really like digital tools. And so the first thing that I will do, though, if I do find myself with a notebook, is to just sit down and say to myself, like, what really needs my attention today? And a few years ago, one of my coaches had said, like, realistically speaking, because I used to make lists that had like 30 things on them. And she said to me, she's like, your brain really doesn't register anything after five. So you can write the 30, but your brain is going to start to feel overwhelmed after that fifth item. So instead of doing the 30, what I decided to do instead, so it's so much more manageable, is just say, okay, what are the top five things that I need to make sure that I touch today? And I'll write them down. And as the day goes along, if there are things that like float through my mind that I know that I need to remember to do, then I will definitely add it to my list, and then we'll prioritize where it needs to be addressed. And so you might be wondering, like, why are you doing this right now? And I think it was because I was having the awareness that life just seemed to be going so quickly. You know, one moment it was the beginning of a new month, the next thing I knew it was the end of another month, and here we are hurtling through the year. And I'm trying to make sure that the objectives and the intentions that I set at the beginning of the year, that I don't lose sight of them. So I find myself constantly coming back and just making sure, like, am I still on pace? Am I, and what I mean when I say pace, am I still trying to do the things that I set as strong intentions for the beginning of this year? And there does have to be some fluidity within that. But at the end of the day, I don't want to find myself in a place where I'm so overwhelmed by all of these ideas that I lose sight of where it was that I started at the beginning of the year and what it is that those strong focal points are. Like, where is it that I want to end at the end of the year? So that's where I am right now, trying to balance this tension and this sense of fullness, and then moving into the other space, which is exactly that space. And for someone like me, I require that downtime and that space to like really fully integrate all of the things that are going on. And I don't know about you guys, but I almost find like somebody I know is going to be like, oh, it's aging. But I don't actually think so. I mean, maybe it is, but I think for me, it's just that I'm getting so many good, juicy ideas, and I want to do them all. That's really what this boils down to. So when people are telling me almost like I have ADHD, I'm like, no, I think I'm just getting much better at receiving these ideas, or becoming a much clearer channel for receiving these ideas. And the trick is how do I decipher what's for me and what's not? And so that's kind of where that rule of three comes in for me. I can have an idea, right? I'm like, that's kind of a good idea. And then I'll carry on with life. And then it'll float through again. I'll be like, okay, that's the second time. And usually the third time, the one that like really nails it in, like, this is for you, is if someone else says it. If someone else says it, I'm like, oh my gosh, you won't believe this. I've definitely been thinking about that lately. And then that's kind of like my cue that that's, you know, the direction to go. So there's like all of these things that are constantly coming in, these ideas, opportunities, let's call them that. All of these opportunities that are coming in, and my job is to make sure that as the opportunities are coming in, that I am releasing and removing things that no longer serve me, that are not part of my path and are not part of my journey. And why this is so relevant right now is because I'm talking about leadership. All of this entire podcast is about leadership, leadership of self, leadership of others, leadership in organizations, leadership in your community. All of it is tied to leadership. And anybody who knows me will hear me say, like, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to do really big things in my life, but that doesn't mean that I have to do all of the big things at the same time. So it's that awareness that I not only like to keep my plate very full, but I want to continue to enjoy the rich and very full life that I have created for myself. And the only way to do that without feeling burnout and stress and resentment is being willing to let go of those things that, frankly, I don't need to do. And so recently, I decided that I was going to get an assistant. And for anybody who knows me, that's a big step because I am a little bit of a control freak and I like to hold all the balls myself. But we are going to go ahead and take our first break. And when we return, I am going to share with you how this decision to take on an assistant was very intentional. And it was intentional in the sense of trying to balance the fullness with the need to create space in my life. So we will be right back after this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am talking about building slower, living fuller, releasing guilt, and reclaiming rhythm. And the first segment, I was really sharing with you, the audience, how my life feels very full. And then I find myself living this life that's on warp speed. I don't know about you guys, but time seems to be flying way faster than I can ever recall it going. And just kind of being in this season in my life where the tension is really between having a full life that I love and I'm beyond grateful for and creating space and doing so in a way that I don't fall into judgment about what I should be doing or feeling guilty or, you know, all these other things, right? And right before break, I was sharing that late last year, I had made the decision that, okay, I know, brilliant idea. Let me hire an assistant. An assistant will help me to create the space in my world so that I can not only continue to put my attention and energy into the things that I enjoy, but to invite more in. And so I made that decision last year, and it was an excellent decision because I was able to see that, well, I was able to see very clearly that I like to be in control. As much as I say I'm very chill and laid back, I am when I'm in control. It was really great for me to highlight, you know, those things, those areas for improvement. And so it was great. And, you know, the individual that I hired was fantastic because she did say to me, she's like, you know, in order for me to be effective, you actually have to give stuff to me fully. And I'm going to celebrate my awareness within that I was like, okay, no problem. And thanks for calling me on the carpet on that because, you know, I do want this to be successful. I do want to be able to free up this space. So thank you for checking me on that. And so with hiring someone, it's allowed me to move things off of my plate and really get very clear about what I want the experience to be like, not only for myself in each of these buckets in my life, but also for the other people that those buckets touch. So, you know, we can use the podcast as an example. It's got like a whole life of its own, from finding guests to, you know, initial conversations to booking and, you know, the whole process that goes along with that. And I wanted to be able to, I always want to create an experience with people. I want people to, you might not remember what I said, but I want you to remember how you feel when you're touched by anything that I have my hand in. And so when I was looking at all these different areas that I have in my life, I knew that I wanted to design them in such a way that you would be touched by the experience. And so this kind of brings me to a phrase that you hear all the time, which is living intentionally by design. And that's really what it means to me. You know, there's, I don't know what it means out there, you know, with other people and in social media and whatnot. But for me, when I think about it and when I'm describing it to people and the various experiences that folks are having with me. So I talk about the podcast, but there's also the services offered by Pavitra. There's the work that I do with Watt, both internal and external stakeholders. There's all the various personal and professional relationships that I have. And the reality is that I didn't want to just stretch so that their experience got thinner. If anything, I wanted to move things off so their experience with me got deeper and richer. And the only way to do that was to get the stuff out of my plate or off my plate that was monotonous and was just stealing my magic, for lack of putting it a better way. And so with that, it got me to think about, now, this is where process comes in, because I started then thinking about, well, what does that mean? And what do I need to do in order to create that? Or what do I need to direct, you know, an assistant or someone else to do in order to help me create this experience? So I hope that you can see in the way that I'm describing this, that I'm trying to find that very delicate thread between having these full and these rich and these very deep experiences with diluting them. Diluting them for myself or the other parties that might have been, you know, a part of that. And the part that I have to be very careful of as I'm living a warp speed life right now is to make sure that I don't find myself defaulting to just going at this warp speed pace. And so the other very intentional things that I started doing was I decided, so of course, when I'm at my home base, which is Canada, I work from home there and I can design my days exactly the way that, well, not exactly the way that I want them, but they're very long, and I have lots of time for myself because I'm not interfacing with the employees in a very physical way. Or my staff in a very physical way. But when I'm in Nigeria, it's very different because I go to the office every day and, you know, people are talking to me and they need stuff and they need decisions and they're in my office and meetings are never 5 minutes. They're always long. And, but on this particular phase of my life where I'm trying to create space, even with the fullness, I find that I made decisions such as I'm going to work from home. I'm going to take 1 or 2 days a week where I can, yes, work and I'm still available for folks and I'm in the same time zone so we don't lose anything there. But at the same time, I now am working from home and that allows me to have the space that I need in order to integrate all of the things that I'm trying to do and not feel that sense of overwhelm. And I will absolutely put the rider out there that not everybody has this freedom and flexibility to design your life like that. But I made a decision a very, very long time ago, and I would actually say it was when our twins were born. That is when I very intentionally decided that I didn't want to punch anybody's clock ever again, that I wanted to be able to, at that point in time, the decision or that motivation came from wanting to be a very present and a very active participant in our children's lives. I did not want our kids to be latchkey kids of the 80s. I did not want that for them. And so that was not their experience. And that just kind of carried over after they were, you know, well tucked away in school. And the point I'm getting at is that decision to create a, like that intentional by design decision was, it's literally like 20 years old. And that was because I always wanted the freedom and flexibility to go where I needed to go when I wanted to go and not be nailed down by brick and mortar, so to speak. So all that I've done is like the reason for still living that type of existence has just evolved over the years. What originally motivated that were the kids, and now they are full-fledged adults. And now I'm directing it fully towards myself. In other words, what I'm getting at is that I still don't punch a clock for anybody. I still very much work for myself. And that now is motivated by the understanding and the awareness that sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I need a nap in the middle of the day. And I'm going to honor that I need a nap in the middle of the day. If there are days when my mornings start at 3 o'clock in the morning and I don't end until, like, you know, close the day at like 8 p.m., because there are some days that are like that, then I'm not going to feel bad about the 1 or 2 hour nap that I take in the middle of the day. So if you find yourself in this space in your life where you want to design it very intentionally, I think the first question is, and this was actually advice that I had recently given one of my kids, because sometimes when we start thinking about it in terms of what we want to do, we get overwhelmed and we start to put like boundaries on it. And so what I actually said to him was, I said, you know, when you're thinking about the type of life you want to design, I said, think about how you want to feel, because that's so much easier to lean into. So I said, you know, he's a bit of a night owl. So I said, if you want to be able to like stay awake until 3 o'clock in the morning and wake up at noon and like, you know, have a lazy day and like have your active hours really be from 5 p.m. until like midnight, you know, then lean into what that feels like. And the opportunities will start to present themselves that will support that. That's one option. The other option is that you can start to make changes in your life that are maybe a little more conventional. So going to sleep at a decent hour, you know, having more energy in the morning and so on and so forth. So if you find yourself, so just to reiterate, if you find yourself in a place and space where you want to be able to begin to create a life that you love, then the first place to start is like, how do you feel? When was the last time that you were at a job or being a solopreneur and you were lit up? Like from top to bottom, inside out, every which way that somebody looked at you, you were fired up. And that's what you begin to follow when you are intentionally designing your life. You know, another example is I love travel. That's another reason why I can't punch someone else's clock. I love travel too much and I don't ever want to be confined to 3 weeks a year. That sounds like slow torture. No offense to those of you who get 3 weeks. That's amazing for you. I'm happy. I don't want that. I want to be able to plan a trip whenever I want and not be limited by how many vacation days that I get. So these are the tiny examples that I'm giving of balancing that fullness with that space, the awareness that sometimes things are going to be on warp speed, but being very, very intentional, such as work from home days, if you're able to do that, you know, designing the life that you desire so that you can slow down without feeling guilty. And the truth of the matter is that even if you are beginning to successfully design that life with intention, you are going to feel guilt. There is no way around that, especially if you sit in the energy of always needing to do to earn. And that is, again, definitely, I totally dating myself, and that's okay. But to me, that's like absolutely a Gen X kind of thing, because, you know, our generation of parents was basically like, you got to work hard in order to get things. And I'm really trying to shift that within myself in terms of more like, no, I got to love what I do. And I might have to put in some effort, but I want it more than anything else. I got to be lit up about what I do in order to attract the abundance into my life that I want. And I'll be really honest with you, the last year of life has validated that more than ever. Any year where I felt like busting my ass was going to put more money in my bank account, I can't say that enough. Finding the things that I thoroughly enjoy and that I love and light me up have been far more rewarding than any of the years that I thought working longer, working harder, more suffering was the way to abundance. So when we come back from our next break, we will talk more about the guilt and overfunctioning piece and how do we begin to quiet that voice that tells us that we don't deserve the space and the time to just reset and recharge. We'll talk more about that when we return from this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am talking about building slower, living fuller, releasing guilt, and reclaiming rhythm. And during the first and second segments, I've really just been kind of highlighting this place and space that I'm in right now in my life, where it's very full, very rich, has a lot of depth. I have a lot of gratitude for it. I wouldn't change any part of it. The part I am trying to change, and that's the point of this particular episode, is the piece where I make space for more by releasing what I do not need anymore. And how do we do that without allowing the guilt and overfunctioning stories to like really seep in when we're not looking? So when I think about where guilt shows up when I slow down, in the previous segment, I was saying that, you know, when I was younger, like, you know, a teenager and still living at home, I remember my parents often saying that. And my parents are immigrants. And so back then it's always been an immigrant mindset that like the only way that you can achieve anything and the only way that you can have anything is that you've got to like really suffer and toil and suffer. And it's got to be just miserable. And I remember as a kid being like, that sounds terrible. Like my mom would literally complain about work every single day. She would basically be like, I can't, like, there was no part of my mom's job that ever gave me the impression that she enjoyed going to work. And I looked at that and I was like, that looks like what not to do. So I did the exact opposite. I was like, I'm going to go and have fun and enjoy the people that I work with. And now that as I'm sitting here and like thinking about every single job that I've had in my entire life, and I mean every one of them, I worked them until they were not fun anymore. So from those very early jobs when I would like, I never worked a restaurant job. I never did washing dishes or any, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but I always loved clothes. So for me, any job as a teenager where I could like, you know, help people look their best, I loved it. And I did that for years. And so the point I'm getting at is like, I allowed my joy to guide me. And I'm, even as I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, there was one moment in time where I wanted to be a doctor. And I always have loved medicine and, you know, biology and the sciences and just kind of the way that my mind works. And it wasn't like I didn't go into medicine because I didn't like any of those things. If anything, back in those days, like during high school, when you're taking all these courses, getting ready for post-secondary, those were my favorite ones. Those are the ones I went to all the time. I loved the labs, so on and so forth. But the point that I'm trying to make is what stopped me dead in my tracks of going that path of being a doctor was I went and spent a summer working at one semester. I worked one lowly semester in a mediclinic. And I was like, now that's not the career for me. And it's because the people were not pleasant. And I don't mean that you should be pleasant when you are feeling ill. I can totally understand why people were not pleasant. But I was like, no, I can't work somewhere where people are just like really, really miserable every single day of their life. So that stops that doctor path dead in its tracks. And I found a different way. But the point that I'm ultimately trying to get at is that I think for some reason, we think that success has to be painful and unenjoyable and toiling. And why does it have to be? If I am having fun and I'm bringing joy into it, then that means that every single person that comes into experience with me gets the benefit of that joy and that excitement of me loving what I do. So where I've come to now is even when I find myself falling or those whispers of those stories come into my awareness where I feel like I'm apologizing to myself of all people. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't work from home today. I just remind myself, number one, I give a lot of hours to a lot of the things that are in my world. Number two, I'm already explaining it, like I'm over-explaining it. And this is the thing that I need to be able to get out of. But I think where I'm just getting to is just honoring that sometimes I need space and time. And I explain that to people. And maybe I don't need to, but I just say to people that I'm just the type of person that sometimes needs a little bit of space and a little bit of time in order to kind of let everything settle. If I feel like they need an explanation, and more often than not, I don't give people explanations, but if I do feel like they need an explanation, they know me well enough to know that I'm somebody who likes space. And so when that story comes up, and this story doesn't come up as much anymore, but the one that I was talking about where it's like success you can only have if it's like painful and suffering. I don't even prescribe to that. If you can believe it, not that long ago, my mom was asking me if I wanted to like go work in, no offense to government employees, but if I wanted to work in the government, I was like, no, never. I couldn't even believe she asked me that. I was like, what would make you think that I would want to do that? I love my life. Like, no, I do not want to go work Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4 p.m. and get 20 days of holidays a year. That is, there's got to be employees and there's got to be business owners. And I am very happy being a business owner. And so I do not want to, I've done my years of working for other people. And so the other part of this that I think that's made it much easier for me to take the time that I need when I need it without feeling bad is my productivity is so much better. Like when I'm doing the things that I enjoy in the way that I enjoy them. So for example, I am somebody who enjoys the early parts of the day. Like I like waking up early in the morning and I'm pretty productive by myself. And so today is one of those examples. I'm working from home. People are messaging me. I'm responding. If they call me, I'm answering my phone. But because there's no distractions, and I'm not the type of person that's like on Instagram or on LinkedIn, or, you know, if I am going to watch a show, I'm doing it while I'm actually taking a break and eating. And it, I used to even feel guilt over that. If I would be sitting in my office or even at home and I'm like stopping work for a moment and I decide that I'm going to watch Netflix while I eat, I'm like, oh no, am I going to get in trouble? I'm almost actually asking myself, am I going to get in trouble if somebody walks in and I'm watching Netflix at work? And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm eating lunch. I'm allowed to watch Netflix. I mean, I can watch Netflix whenever I want, but you see the point that I'm getting at is like always feeling like I have to explain why I'm taking a break for my brain. And especially right now, as I find myself like building systems and like really doing a lot of organization and mental gymnastics in like thinking about systems and how to put them together and how to make things run better. It requires a lot of mental energy. And so even today, I remember at some point in time, I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to take a break and I'm going to walk away from this because I can feel myself being frustrated with how this is coming together. And that advice actually had come many years ago from my mom, and she was teaching me how to sew, and I was in it. And I remember getting really frustrated because I just wanted to push through. That's all I wanted to do. I was like, I'm so committed to pushing through on this sewing project. And she had said to me in her voice, she's like, oh dear. She's like, you just need to walk away and go to bed. And when you come back tomorrow, this will make so much sense. And stubborn in true form, I tried pushing it through and I just made a huge mess out of the project. And eventually I went to bed. And then I woke up the next day and I came back to it and I was able to. And so because I had fresh eyes and I had rest and all this good stuff, I was able to bang through the project, repair and all in no time flat. So that never left me. As much as I fight it, that experience never, ever left me. So much so now that when these things come up, I hear her voice and it's like, oh dear, just take a break. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go take a break. And then I come back and I just feel so much better, like just taking my eyes off of whatever it is. And often when I find that I'm struggling with something, if I just take a break, 5 or 10 minutes, go decomp, come back, I can see things so much clearer. I can see where the mistakes are. I can see where I was getting stuck. I can see where I was spinning my wheels, and then I'm able to just plow through it and get it done. So if you have heard anything at all in this particular segment where I'm talking about guilt and overfunctioning, don't take my word for it. Try it in your own life. If you find yourself in a season of where you're really leaning hardcore into that masculine energy of doing, it's not a bad thing. You need it. Can you invite in more feminine energy and honor your body, your mind, your energy when the invitation is take a break? You need both. You need the ability to push through, or not push through, but you know, to really get things done. So that doing energy, you do need it. But equally, you also need the energy of rest, reset, and relax. So instead of feeling guilt about what you should be doing, where can you make space in your life to invite in more space for integration, for rest, for recharge, any of those things? And it seems particularly important to me at this point in time, especially as I'm looking at my own leadership style in our workplace and how I am trying to invite the staff that I work with to find their own leadership style and their own voice, right? And how to show them how to balance this masculine and this feminine energy so that they in turn can find that balance. So when, you know, they hear me saying work-life balance, they often misunderstand what I'm getting at, when I'm talking about, they think that I mean more time off. And no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is the balance between masculine and feminine energy, the balance between doing and being. So we are going to take our final break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about women, leadership, and honoring those different rhythms and what they look like, because they do show up very differently. So we will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying this show, please go find me on your favorite platform and give me a 5-star review. I would be super grateful, and this would really help in getting the information out to those that need it. So thank you in advance. So today we are talking about building slower, living fuller, releasing guilt, and reclaiming rhythm. And really what had inspired this particular topic, like I said at the very beginning, was that I find that I'm in this phase in my life where I'm trying to build so much. And instead of trying to build it the way other people would encourage me to build it, I felt like what was serving me the most was relaxing into the space, into the silence, and just waiting things for it to like to come to the surface and to unfold and to like make themselves available or apparent in terms of like how I should do something. And I think that the importance around honoring that masculine and feminine energy is that it exists within all of us. It doesn't matter what your biological gender is when you were born. You have both the energies within you, divine masculine, divine feminine, and ultimately you need both of them because they're used for different things, right? So obviously, as I keep saying, divine masculine is about doing, about taking ideas and putting them into action. So it's action-oriented energy, and divine feminine energy is about receiving the information and sitting with it and going with the flow. And you need both as you walk this journey. And with that in mind, I think it's really important to talk more about women, leadership, and those different rhythms and how we honor those parts of ourselves as women. So recently, I was out for dinner with a very good friend of mine. We've known each other for, oh my gosh, decades. And I hope she'll be a guest on the show. I've put it out there, so we'll see. But she was telling me, she's an HR specialist, and she was telling me about some of the changes that she was making with her people, and the majority of her staff, if not all, are women. And so she was talking about the luteal phase. So of course, I know what a luteal phase is, but I never paid much attention to it. And she was just saying to me, you know, that there are certain things that they try to avoid as management and executives and leaders, really. And I shouldn't say avoid. I'll say put a pin in until that phase of their cycle is gone. And for any of you who work with a lot of women, you know that what eventually ends up happening, or you'll witness that what eventually ends up happening, is we cycle together. Right? So it's just a matter of time before we all start to cycle together. And so during that phase, they would just kind of put a pause on any significant decisions or conversations that needed to happen. And I thought this was fascinating. I loved it. I was absolutely just kind of like, wow, what a forward and progressive workplace that is like actually paying attention to like people's cycles and choosing not to like force decision making in a time where women can be very sensitive. And it's not even just about emotions, right? It was things like you might be more fatigued. Yes, you might be more sensitive. Like it's more of a cocooning phase. If you think about what the luteal phase is, for those of you who are not familiar with what the luteal phase is, it's like really your body preparing to support life. So a lot of that energy is really naturally already turned inward. And that's what the point of that phase is supposed to be. It's turned inward where you just are prepping your body for supporting life. And so I was just reflecting on that. And I started paying attention to myself and I was blown away. And I was kind of like, and so I found myself even saying to people like, you know, people who are close to me, I would say, you know what, for where I am right now, I think that I would like to put a pin in this conversation and come back to it later. So I wouldn't say avoidance, but just recognizing that given where I might be in my own cycle, that I might be a little more sensitive, might misunderstand something that, and I did notice that I was so much more tired and so I was really gentle with myself and I was really, you know, and I really took care of myself and paid attention to my body with what it needed. And it was just like this person, this friend of mine, she put this awareness in front of me. And before just kind of blurting it out to a whole bunch of people like I am right now, I tested the theory with myself. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even pay attention before, but why wouldn't I? You know, for women, and we've got so many wild hormonal fluctuations that occur. Of course, it affects my sensitivity and my decision making and how much energy I have and all of these things. And so I bring this up because I think for a long time myself, anyways, I won't speak for any of you, but I know for myself for a really, really long time, I thought I had to lead like a man. I really thought that I just needed to like push through and get her done and suck it up, buttercup. And all, I mean, I said those things. I was just like, who is this person that's saying these things? And I realized that like, I was just spouting what all the men around me were saying. And this is not a right or wrong and men are this. And that's not what I'm saying. That is masculine energy. And it's totally okay for men to lead like that. But I'm a woman. I don't need to lead like that. And it doesn't do me any justice, nor any of the people around me, to lead in a way that's just disingenuous and inauthentic to myself. So for the women who are listening today, if you find yourself in a leadership position, I pose the question to you. Do you find yourself leading in a way that is genuine and authentic to you and honoring that ebb and flow of masculine and feminine energy? And if you are leaning towards more masculine energy, can you invite some of that feminine energy in where we create space and we invite more flow, we invite more being versus just kind of pushing through? And I think that if we can start to recognize those cycles within us, recognize those ebbs and flows within us, then we embody it, then we can begin to invite other people in our experience to maybe witness the same things within themselves. And I find that what's inevitably happened with me just kind of paying more attention to these ebbs and flows of energy and hormones and cycles and all these other kinds of things is that it's really just kind of put me into this very observant space where I naturally want to take more care and concern, like more than usual. So when I talk about self-care and having my, you know, my prayer, my meditation practice, my breath work, my yoga, all that kind of stuff, yes, that's all still there. But I also mean taking care of my nervous system, which means like not stressing her out 24/7 in an effort to prove what to who. I do not even know anymore. So where can you find more flow in your life? Until next time, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.